With Pastor Teacher Harry Reeder, this is In Perspective.
This is one who will bring the joy of salvation. This is the one who will bring the joy of a Savior who cannot fail you, will not fail you, and will bring all of His from their sin, from their gloom, from their lament, from their despair into His joy forevermore. And He is our joy. Emmanuel, God with us.
Welcome and stay with us as Dr. Harry Reeder applies the scriptures to the everyday events of life, that we might begin to view our existence from God's eternal perspective, that we might view all of life from a biblical perspective. Today on In Perspective, Dr. Harry Reeder brings us part two of the message, Mighty God. We continue with our Advent series, The Messiah King. In His incarnation, the Lord Jesus lay in the manger as a newborn baby. And in His crucifixion, He hung on the cross, beaten, whipped, and bleeding to death. In the eyes of the unbelieving world, neither of these events display strength, power, or might. But when the people of God look upon His birth and death with the eyes of faith, we see His mighty saving power at work in the messianic mission of the mighty God, our Lord Jesus Christ. If you're following along in the scriptures, turn to Isaiah chapter 9 and verses 1 through 7. Here again is Harry Reeder with part 2 of the message, Mighty God.
This one who comes in foolishness and weakness in the world is the wisdom of God personified. And He has made a way when there was no way for us to be saved. And He has become the way, and He's become the truth, and He's become the life. Can you just go one little step deeper with that with me? Just go one step with me. He not only has the wisdom and the strategy and the trustworthiness to be His own counselor, to fulfill all of those promises that gloom shall be displaced with joy and light and darkness with light and death with life and anguish with joy. He has not only given you those promises, but He has the wisdom and the strategy to accomplish it, even though the world would seek to deride it. And let the world deride or pity, but we will glory in His name, our wonderful counselor. He is the one who has made this way. And then when you are saved by what He has accomplished at that cross, He then begins to work in you, and you receive the presence of the wonderful counselor as He becomes your way with His truth, and He becomes your life. Not the additive. Jesus is not my religious additive. You know, I got my life, I live my life. Now I need a little religion. I mean, I think Jesus, He'll fill the bill. I'll go get Him. Well, He will not negotiate that. He does not offer to become a part of your life. He says you got to die to yourself, and then He becomes your life. Well, it's one thing to have wisdom. It's one thing to have a strategy. It's one thing to be loyal and trustworthy. But can He deliver? Listen, the books of history are filled with warriors and generals who had great plans, but they couldn't bring it home. They couldn't do it. They couldn't accomplish it. They had all the X's and O's outlined on the blackboard, but they couldn't do it. Can this that's laying in that cattle trough, stone cattle trough, in a dying town of Bethlehem, in a remnant nation, and a forgotten line of kings, can he do it? Can he fulfill the promises through this strategy that he will humble himself to be found in appearance as a man and humbles himself to the point of an atoning death on the cross? Can he do that? Is he able? Therefore, Isaiah says, he is the mighty God. The mighty God who is strong in battle. This is the one who has come. He not only has the wisdom and the strategy. He not only has this incomparable strategy and wisdom and the reliability to enact it. He is able. Is he able? Then I say to you, joy, 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 10,000 joys. Yes, there is a resounding voice that has come down from heaven. Yes, he is able. This one whom you look at in that manger, this is the warrior king. This is El Shaddai. I am God Almighty. There, the one you see laying in that stone trough, there, that one is the one who spoke and all the worlds came into existence. The one that you look upon in that stone trough, and as he lay there, is the one who upholds the world by the word of his power. That one that you look at is God's final word. God's spoken word to save his people from their sins. This word has become flesh. This is not only the one that is the creator, who when he speaks his word, brings all things invisible and visible into existence. Don't you love the creation account where, you know, basically what we're instructed in the account and its repetition in the Psalms is that he spoke and there came the creation and then the stars. By the way, let's put the stars out there. And the whole creation from his spoken word from nothing became something, and the something exists to declare his praise and his glory. And now he upholds that world and the whole universe by the word of his power, and he gives life and breath to all of humanity. And then this is the one who is the word that has become flesh, and God has finally spoken in his Son. And this is the one who is ascended. And when he returns, all of the enemies that he has defeated, he will destroy them. And he will roll up his enemies and their weapons from the tumult of battle and will cast it into the everlasting fire. When he comes, one little word shall fail all his enemies, who will be slain by the breath of his coming. He's already come and defeated them. Then he will come and with one word destroy them as they're cast into the lake of fire. He is the mighty God who has come to save us from our sins. This is God incarnate, the incarnation. Brothers and sisters, when Jesus came, I just want to give you a couple of thoughts and I'll give you the takeaway. Just a couple of thoughts here. When Jesus came, let's go back into the historical setting. When Jesus came, the remnant of Israel that was still there, gathered around Jerusalem and in Judah and Judea, this remnant that was left, they were longing. Man, it's just like wave after wave after wave. Assyrians, Babylonians, and Medo-Persians, and Greeks, and now Romans. We want to break the rod of the oppressor. But they didn't trust God's promises and his prophecies. They'll find a way. So we had some of them in your Bible called Herodians. We'll make a coalition with Herod. That'll get it done. And then you had the zealots. We'll use the weapons of the world to get rid of the oppression. We'll accomplish it with worldly wisdom and worldly weapons. And with the anger of man. And then there's the Sadducees, embarrassed by the intelligentsia of the Greeks, compromising biblical truth. They didn't attempt a coalition. They just promised a cultural accommodation. We'll just kind of sacrifice some doctrines that the world may find offensive. Maybe that'll help us get it done. And then there were the Pharisees, called conservative, but actually, folks, please understand this. While they were certainly arrogant in self-righteousness, their ministry existed. They existed to help God get done what he promised, and they were walking pragmatists. I mean, do we need to go make a deal with Pilate to kill this Jesus? No problem. We can make a deal there. These were the guys, they were the epitome of the end justifies the means. But God's answer is not, I need a coalition. Could my people go get a coalition for me? God's answer is not accommodation. God's answer is not negotiation. God's answer was the incarnation. The wonderful Counselor, the mighty God has come to save. And his is the battle. And his is the victory. And we are the spoils and the harvest of this wonderful Counselor and mighty God, who then becomes all of our origin, the eternal Father as King. And in him is peace forever. Prince of Peace. His answer is the incarnation. That's his answer. How will we get rid of sin's gloom? How will we get rid of sin's darkness? How do we get rid of sin's death? How do we get rid of sin's dominion? We can't. He does. And he needs no coalition. He needs no accommodation. And he needs no negotiation. But we proclaim an incarnation. Our God has come to save. And our God is mighty to save. Rejoice, O people of God, with joy, joy, and joy. Even 10,000 joys. Well, let me just give you the takeaway and then we'll close in prayer. And that's just where I'll bring you to, is where we were. Joy to the world. Now, can I just stop right here? Joy. This is the season not for lament. This is the season to proclaim the answer to lament. The Lord has come to the world. The Lord has come to the world. That God so loved the world, he gave his Son. And in this world of rebellion and in this world of sinners, he will bring his people from every tribe and nation into his kingdom. And that government shall know no end. That government will never stop increasing. That government will never cease as all the empires of this world do. That government is a forever government because the zeal of the Lord will accomplish this. And the zeal of the Lord is his Son. And his passion was to go to that cross to fulfill it, and from the throne he will come to consume it into glory. That is what has accomplished. So we have joy. The world is divided. We can show the joy of being one in Christ, a people who were not a people, who have become the people of God. The world is in despair, and it goes from one idol to another. Maybe this experience, maybe this purchase, maybe this possession, maybe this title, maybe this will be the answer. Listen, can I just stop right here? I want to invite you to this Savior today. He has come to you. I invite you to come to Him. It isn't a coalition. It's not a negotiation. It's a surrender. And you will find in Him more joy than you can ever account. It is glorious, His saving grace. Even in a broken world, He will lift you up. He will bear you up. And then He will take you up as He has gone to prepare a place for you. In fact, I plead with you to come to Him. In fact, let me just say this. If you're here today and you've not yet come to Christ, and I know we come to church. I know we can come to services. I know that, but I've been right where you are, but I hadn't come to Christ. If you've not yet come to Christ for a personal saving relationship whereby Christ isn't an additive to life, He is your life. And you leave here today without making that commitment, I give you another invitation, whether it's in the lobby or preferably sometime when we've got more time to talk. I ask you to tell me, what promises of the world and Satan and sin would keep you from coming to Him? And I would just ask you to share with me, what is it you think brings joy instead of Him, who is our joy? Worldlings prize their gems of beauty, cling to gilded toys of dust. But we, in Christ, our joy, alone will place our trust. I will take any amount of time to talk with you about that, to pray with you about that. I want you to know the joy that has come to the world because the Lord has come. And therefore, here's the takeaway. The incarnation brings to us the King. He is one of a kind. He is one of a kind. There is not another king like this. This king and his kingdom, this king is able to emancipate all of his people from the incarceration of Satan and their sin. He is able to break the rod. He is able to free you from the yoke of sin. He removes the guilt, the shame, the dominion of sin. He is the one who gives you life and life evermore. He is the one whom you look at as the child warrior king in that stone trough that 33 years after dying an atoning death will be placed in another stone's trough, and He will not stay there because this King wins the victory and He is risen. This King that you see wrapped in cloths will be stripped of a robe in order to give you a garment and a robe of righteousness. And as He is stripped of that on a cross, then He clothes you with a robe that is impeccable. As He takes away your sin and gives you life evermore. Here is the one through the government and the people of His kingdom will rest on His shoulder, and it will increase and it knows no end. And the reason this government can rest on His shoulder is because there was a cross that He bore on those shoulders to set us free and displace our gloom and death and despair and break the bonds of sin. Here is the one who defeats the enemies at the cross This is the mighty God who bound the strong man. This is the mighty God who removes the guilt and shame of our sin. This is the mighty God who was separated from the Father and became one of us to bear our sin, to drink to the bottom all of the wrath of God for all of the sins of all of his people, for all of eternity. This is the mighty God, the God that has come to win the battle for us, not because he needed us, but because he has loved us. And this is the one who relentlessly and continually will bring the glory and majesty of salvation by grace in humbling himself. And this is power. This is power. The power of the Lord. Hear him standing after the victory of the resurrection, proclaiming the satisfactory atonement and that he has won the victory over sin and will now win the victory, and the zeal of the Lord will gather the sinners from all of the nations to himself, and hear him give us our direction. And he says to us, all authority, this is the mighty God, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Now you go. Why can you go? Because when you go, you wait to receive from me the Spirit of God, the same Spirit that was in the womb whereby I came forth, the same Spirit that was with me in the Galilee, the same Spirit who accompanied me and sent me to the cross, the same Spirit who brought my body out of the tomb. That Spirit from the throne I now give to you, and you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You've got the power to kill sin. You've got the power to pursue Christ. You've got the power to pursue the lost for Christ. You've got the power to love one another, not with the love of the world that is always counting the marks of the love that it receives, but the love that takes its joy in the joy of giving because of the one who gave himself for us. That's what I give to you. I give to you the power of the Holy Spirit. I give to you the power of grace that is greater than sin. I give you the power of the gospel that sets sinners free. I give you the power of prayer where you call upon the Lord and he can do abundantly beyond all that we could ask or think according to his perfect will. And I give you the power of the cross. That's what I give you. And that is your message, to preach Christ and him crucified, where the love of God met the holiness of God, satisfied the justice of God to save sinners by the grace of God to the glory of God. And this God is an awesome God. This is our God who is mighty to save. Don't you love it when we sing it? We just need to sing it more. There is power, power, power in the blood of the Lamb. And it is the power of the kingdom, the power of our God. If I could just take that Getty hymn that we love to sing and just simply end with it, somewhat paraphrased for the purpose of this. Oh, to see the dawn of the darkest day, Christ on the road to Calvary, tried by sinful men, torn and beaten then, nailed to a cross of wood. This is the power of the cross. Christ has become sin for us. Christ took the blame. Christ bore the wrath. Now we are emancipated from our incarceration to sin's darkness, gloom, death, despair, and dominion. We stand forgiven at the cross. Oh, to see the pain that was written on his face, bearing the awesome weight of our sin, every bitter thought, every evil deed, crowning the blood-stained brow of Christ. I don't see thorns on his head. I see the weight of my sins in thought, word, and deed. That's what I see weighing down upon him. Then he takes our sin. Now the day flees. Now the ground beneath quakes as the Maker bows his head. The curtain is torn in two. Dead are raised to life. Tetelestai, finished, is now the victory cry of our mighty warrior king, the mighty God who is able to save. Then see my name written in his hands, for through his suffering we are free. Death is crushed to death. Life is ours to live, won by the love of Christ that now compels us. His passion, the zeal of the Lord, now becomes our passion. And oh, to see how I long when there to see your name. And will you long to see teammates and classmates and workmates and neighbors and friends? Do you long to see their name written on the hands of our wonderful counselor, our mighty God, our everlasting Father, that they may know the Prince of Peace?
When the people of God look upon our Savior's birth and death with the eyes of faith, we see His mighty saving power at work in the messianic mission of the mighty God, our Lord Jesus Christ. Join us again next time as we continue our Advent series, The Messiah King. Now, if you would like to receive an audio copy of the entire message from which today's In Perspective was taken, write and request Mighty God, or simply ask for message number 16429. Again, that's message number 16429. We do request $5 to underwrite the cost of the CD, along with shipping and handling when you request today's message. Address your request to In Perspective, 2200 Briarwood Way, Birmingham, Alabama 35243, or email us inperspective@briarwood.org. Now, if you benefit from the in-depth Bible teaching of Harry Reader on In Perspective, we think you'll also enjoy the insights Harry shares with us on his 10-minute daily podcast and radio broadcast, Today in Perspective. Each weekday, Harry takes a look at an issue or a headline from the news and examines it through the lens of Scripture. Indeed, it is a conversation that puts the news of the day in biblical perspective. Many of these stations that air the In Perspective Bible teaching program also air Today in Perspective. You can have access to both of these programs by downloading the Briarwood app. Simply go to your favorite app store, type in Briarwood PCA. And you can subscribe to these two programs. Go to your podcast icon, type in Today in Perspective with Harry Reader, or In Perspective with Harry Reader. These programs will automatically download to your device. A great way to stay in touch. Harry would love to hear back from you. Write to us and let us know if In Perspective is making a difference in your life. Email Harry at inperspective@briarwood.org. This is an outreach of the Briarwood Pulpit, a congregation of the Presbyterian Church in America, Birmingham, Alabama. Join us again next time as Harry Reader takes us back into the Scriptures so that we might learn to put life in biblical perspective.